everyone, and welcome to another edition of Ask Anything presented by Mosher Consulting. I'm your host, Angel Leon, Mosher's Director of Personnel. We're glad you're with us for this episode of Ask Anything, and with us today is one of our own, Derek Spires, who will be discussing with us the benefits of project management. Derek has over 10 years' experience in his project management career. He has served clients in the public and private sectors to manage projects in a range of industries, including training and development, knowledge management, construction, and healthcare information technology and infrastructure, the latter of which is where he has spent most of his project management service. Having had the opportunity to work on a wide variety of projects, from small-scale implementations to large-scale enterprise-wide initiatives, he has found that significant project issues are always preceded by subtle symptoms and indicators. And I want to ask about those. So let's get going. Derek, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Angel. I appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to having the conversation today.
Well, so let's start with the basics about what is a project manager and what do they do? And if you can sprinkle a little bit about those subtle symptoms and indicators that you say you found, that's great, because that's where I want to start. Let's start with that. What's a project manager? What do they do?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Foundationally, a project manager is ultimately your coordinator amongst a range of stakeholders, whether they're all from internal. Most of the time, they're not all internal. They're internal as well as external team members that you need to contribute to the overall success of the project that is being implemented. So they have responsibility of helping, well, primarily first, help identify with this particular initiative or this effort. Is it even worth the company's time? And then once that leadership is bought into that idea, it's then their task to identify what is the work effort, what are the work team members, what are the expertise that need to be leveraged in order to successfully complete this task. And then, as the old adage says, kind of herd the cats, get them coordinated on who's working on what and when. And then once that's in place, it really becomes an effort of monitoring the health of the project. And that can come in a number of ways. And that kind of leads to the point you mentioned, which is those early indicators where there might be issues. And typically you can see those very early in the process, even when you're going through that effort of kind of scoping out what this project will need from the work activities, what considerations and how it's aligned with business's overall company objectives, or if there's even within the department, if there's things that the department's shooting for and it's misaligned and the project misaligned, there's conversations that should be had early on. That way you don't get down the road with a project and you're halfway through and you realize, you know what, this is not bringing a value that either is warranted or needed, which is probably the worst case scenario. Right. So those early indicators kind of throw up the red flag that you can identify issues as early as possible. And we'll talk about some today, I think.
Well, I think that comes with, right, with your research prior to, with,
yes,
obviously, if you're prepared and you have done that research and, for lack of a better term, interviewed that client to make sure that you understand what their needs are, what exactly it is that they're looking to take away from this project, then those subtle symptoms and indicators might not necessarily pop up right away, maybe a little bit further down the line as those goals and objectives start to settle in, right?
Yeah, so one of the things I tell a lot of the greener project managers that I've either mentored or worked with, one of the things you should ask for right away is that business case. Sometimes in our environment, it's a little bit difficult because you might be, the business case is really an SOW that was given. And so you have to do a little more digging. But if you can get your hands on a business case, it really starts to highlight and give you a sense of, number one, how did the business come to, what's the problem they're trying to solve? And does what they're proposing actually address that underlying problem? Because right there would be a red flag for you, right? If you see that they're having some issues with resource management and they're proposing a tool that doesn't really focus on resources in detail, well, you need to ask more questions as a project manager. Is this really satisfying the problem or resolving the problem? It really highlights to the who also has been engaged. And this is a really important piece, especially if you have a sponsor who's ultimately going to be responsible for the budget and the money coming in to pay for this initiative. Have they been involved in these conversations? Are they bought into this project? Because if the answer is no, you're going to have a hard time getting the right resources and the money necessary down the line to actually execute the project they've given you. So it's this business case that really starts to highlight to you, okay, who was involved in identifying this? Does it meet the business goals? Is it aligned with solving a business problem? And if the answers to those questions are negative or no, then you need to be, as a project manager, before you get really executing, starting to ask the right questions to your leadership to help make sure everyone's on the same page and it's aligned with the right things.
Well, I think you've answered some of what I'm going to ask next with your answer to this, the last question. But what is the difference between a successful and unsuccessful project, and what makes that difference?
It's a great question. So a successful project from a project manager perspective is we delivered what we said we're going to deliver in the time frame that we proposed and within the budget we were given. That's the quick and dirty view of the project. I think the big thing to consider too, and this is also highlighted in your business case, is making sure you have measurable parameters to actually go and evaluate the success of the project. I've been a part of, candidly, too many projects in my time that were started to solve a problem because the solution was not really well thought out. So we get to the end of the project and the project team is sitting there going, man, we sure do feel good, but can we really tell if we solved the problem with any measurable metric? And sadly, there's been times where the answer is no. So I think that's an important piece that you should be looking for in your project, not only identifying the deliverables, but then how do you measure how that deliverable or whatever product or service you're implementing in your project satisfies the need of the organization in a measurable way. So as I told my teams in the past, we don't get to the end and say, oh, we sure do feel good, but we don't know if it's actually effective. We want to be able to say, hey, we're celebrating the success. We feel good about it. But in addition to that, here's all the things that it brought. Here's the value of our work to the organization, to our client, whoever that may be.
So how can a project manager help mitigate risk for a company?
First of all, one of the biggest things that I think is a big miss for a lot of project managers is around risk management. Whether it's identifying the process, actually putting in a process of identifying risks to evaluating them. I think you have really three tiers. You have the project manager that, well, will take on risks as they come to light. In reality, those aren't risks. Those are now issues.
Yeah.
If you're identifying. So you're kind of behind the eight ball if you're in that range. The second set will identify the major ones. But the challenge that I've seen and I've been guilty of, especially early in my career, is, okay, I've identified the risk. This feels like to me as the project manager, like it's a big risk or that's minor. We don't have to do it. But as I've learned from my experience, I shouldn't be the one evaluating that. Because oftentimes, as most project managers, you're not the technical expert. If I had to do a software development project, well, they're not going to want me coding because that will result in a bad piece of software. And so I've brought in a team of experts who are my software engineers. I should be engaging them and their expertise to understand what's really the magnitude of these risks. If they do become an issue, what does that mean to us? And I think a lot of project managers in that second tier, they fall in the trap of trying to just, this feels like to me as a project manager, this that it's a high risk or a low risk. And that kind of leads to the third thing that where I think all project managers should strive to be is first constantly engaging your team to identify risks, because they're the ones as the experts know what to look for. They know what is a red flag when it gets to the technical detail, and they should be able to have an open door to elevate that to you. And secondarily to that, there should be a formal process in how you evaluate risks to make it quantifiable. Not, again, not based upon feeling, not based upon people that don't have the technical expertise, but based on concrete metrics that then you can ensure, number one, you're watching them. Number two, you're escalating the right ones to your clients or to your leadership. And number three, you're having the consistent conversation around the ones that are near to becoming an issue. That's a big part that you're bringing up there that I think can be a big miss for a lot of project managers. And it's an area of focus that I've learned from my own mistakes to really try and take a very mature process around.
And risk management, I think it's a hot topic pretty much everywhere. I mean, full disclosure, my wife is an internal auditor. She deals with risk management. That's what she does. So we see it everywhere. And so I can only imagine how you as a project manager or your team going in trying to work on a business case. And yes, you already have some identifiable risk management opportunities, but things are going to pop up that you're not ready for. Things are going to come up that you are surprised by. Something might pop up that you were looking at and it was looking fine. And then all of a sudden, boom, it happens.
Yeah, you're 100% correct, right? And it's really, the way I go about my risk management is I try and evaluate, or have my, I should say, have my team evaluate each risk as they identify them by three criteria, at least. Now, you can do more than this. It depends on, you know, what your background is, what area of profession that you're working in. But I really try and focus on three areas. What's the first, what's the probability of this risk actually becoming an issue?
Right.
And put a quantifiable metric around that. And then if that risk does become an issue, how big of an impact, of course, will it have on the project? I mean, I actually give my team on each of these categories a list of 1 to 10, and then there's a descriptor for each rating. And then the third piece that I ask them to evaluate is, when will we know? What's the time frame in which we will be able to identify that this is switched to an issue? Because there's some things that might happen and you won't know for a day or two. Right. I have a project from my experience where we were working with the Affordable Care Act early in its early days. And the challenge there with the project I was leading is the government was writing the rules and regulations as we were trying to roll out this particular effort. And so there were risks that a policy change would occur. Well, oftentimes we wouldn't know that policy changed until a day or two after it was actually dictated by the government. And so looking at it from that perspective also elevates its risk. So it's important to take these different views. But again, the whole purpose around this evaluation is to take away the emotion of evaluating risk and try and get it into very measurable, quantifiable means so that you can objectively elevate them or monitor them based upon what's the likelihood, what are those parameters, instead of working from just simple emotion.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. In that scenario that you presented about the ACA, I mean, I can only imagine how you're trying to build something as the government is doing something else, sort of kind of behind your back while you're,
yeah.
working on yeah. something. So it's kind of hard when you read it on a paper a couple of days later, oh, wait, they didn't share this with me, huh?
Yeah, right. this changed, uh-oh.
Yeah. Not necessarily the great way for business leaders to help you, which leads me to my next question, which is, how can project managers help business leaders increase their return on investment? This is a perfect example. The government work is a little bit different. I've worked in the government for 16 years. You don't have to tell me. But when it comes to business, you're trying to prove that there is a return on investment on XYZ.
Yes.
And you're trying to prove that to that business leader. So please.
Yeah. So again, it goes back to those early conversations you're having to make sure, number one, you understand the problem trying to be solved. And then early on, capturing, making sure you have an effort in your project, if the business isn't already doing so, capture how they're monitoring that issue today. What measures led them to this conclusion that XYZ problem is indeed a problem for them, and it's costing them dollars or costing them time and effort. Having those early conversations, and if they're not in place, part of your project plan needs to be working with your sponsor to help him understand, or he or she to understand, that you've stated this problem. Help me understand specifically what's leading to that problem, because that may have not been done. And that's a critical component to, should this mm-hmm. project even go forward? Because if we don't really understand the root issue,
right,
you know, are we solving a problem that, or a symptom, versus the core underlying problem?
Yeah.
So we want to engage our sponsors and our leadership and ask those questions of, oh, how did we come to the conclusion that this truly the problem? Or is this just a symptom of a greater issue? And then usually that response is one of two things. Well, we have these metrics that tell us that. Great. I want to capture those metrics. So at the end of the project, we can compare the solution and say, did it move the needle on these set of metrics? The other issue or other response you get, which is probably sadly too often, at least in my experience, is, well, so-and-so thinks that's what's causing it, or this leader thinks it's the root cause, but we don't really capture any metrics around it. Okay, well, I think the first thing we need to do is make sure we understand the metrics. And they might be right. That person who had that punch, or that business analyst who came across the issue and is recommending this piece, might be 100% correct. But let's make sure that we have a metric around it to confirm and validate that's truly an issue we need to solve. And then we use that metric to come back around it. And to your question, show that we've brought value back to the organization, because we improved our efficiency number. We improved our internal team satisfaction. I mean, it's something that's truly valuable. That goes to retention. Ultimately, did we save the company dollars, or did we add to the revenue as a return on investment? We can't do that without having clear metrics right from the get-go. I always use the adage, if you want to get from somewhere on a map, right, and I tell you, go to Orlando, Florida, the next question naturally is, well, where am I starting from? And that leads to this idea, right? You can't really understand the success of a project if you don't know where you're starting from.
Right.
You might get to a destination, but is that destination where you needed to go? And how did you get there? So,
well, and you mentioned something that's, I think, very important, is that sometimes decisions are made on those gut feelings,
yes,
not necessarily on hard data. And that can make it hard on you, on product managers, because you want to see data, you want to see numbers, you know, you want to see some cumulative something.
Right.
Qualitative data is harder to decompress, to speak on, that quantitative. So anything that you can quantify, it's easier for anybody to jump in and make assumptions and drive that train of thought. Just like you were saying, if you don't have that data, to use your example, how are you going to get from here to Orlando? Well, where do I start? If you don't have that data to start, then it makes it harder. And so then makes it harder to prove your point, harder to prove your return of investment, because you're starting from a blank spot.
Yeah. And I'll add to that, the scariest and the saddest, I think, part of it too, is you get to the end and your team is feeling like they've achieved something, but the people that ultimately are using the system or even the leadership is not seeing a return. So they don't view it as the success your team feels it was. And so it's a very unsatisfying perspective for your team to kind of encounter. It's like, we did all this work, we put all this effort in, and we worked together to achieve this goal, and now you're telling us it wasn't valuable. And that's a sad state of affairs. So,
and especially when you're starting off on something like a hunch or, you know, a gut feeling, where, how do you solve that?
Right.
Because 100%. You just spent all that process, and then you get to the end result and you feel good because you feel like you got where you were needed to go. But then that person within that leadership team says, no, I still don't feel like this is the right spot.
100%. Yeah, it's an interesting problem. Unfortunately, it happens all too often than it should. You know, I think about, kind of finishing up on this point, I think about business process people that I've worked with, and oftentimes they come across people that are passionate about the issue that they're encountering, but they're encountering the symptom more often than the root cause. And so, especially when you react on that emotion, you could be dealing with something at work that, man, it sucks, I have to do this and this and this. Why can't I do it different? Well, there's downstream things that started that whole process to be an issue for you. And you're right, it needs to be addressed, but let's make sure we catch it at the root cause, not just address your issue.
Right. So let's turn to the positives. How have you seen implementing project management positively impact the business?
When project management executed well, and you have leadership that's supportive and bought in, and they're all on the same page, you see, it's like any team. When I played sports when I was younger, I coach a little bit now, you get this collective appreciation and just sense of satisfaction that you all were able to come together and achieve a goal. So from a internal team retention standpoint, you have those wins, which is so critical to making sure people want to be with the organization. So just like sports teams, winning creates happy cultures.
Yep.
And so I look at it the same way here. So number one, it's a cultural piece, I think, is a benefit, because you're able to execute and people feel like, hey, we got our ducks in a row, we can achieve anything we put our minds to. Secondarily, of course, it goes to the return on investment piece. With projects that are successful, you're solving the business's problems. You're creating new and unique products and services to address those root causes, so that people have whether it's a more efficient process, or whether we deliver better service to clients, or ultimately our product can be then rolled out to a greater number of people, which increases revenue. There's those benefits, but it's all predicated on that first idea that everyone's starting from the same sheet of music. They understand what truly is the root problem that we're trying to solve, and 100% behind overcoming that issue. And that comes from leadership in terms of providing the right resources when we need it, staying focused on the task at hand, bringing what, if needed, the money to bear, the time allotment to bear, so that people can execute to the best of their ability.
I mean, that's everyone's dream, right?
To
basically have a perfect scenario. That's it.
That's right.
So finally, can you tell us about what makes Mosher's project management office stand out to you?
Yeah, I think it goes back to that last point. I've been with Mosher a little over a year now, and one of the things I can tell you is the culture here, the spirit of all the teams that I work with, is, as a project manager, a dream. And what I mean by that is you've got a collection of people here that want to help not only the client, but each other be successful. And so they don't hesitate to, oh, we see a problem with the project, or we see an issue, let me put my hand up first and try and overcome this. They're also candid and freely share when I'm asking for risks. They're bringing those to bear to help make sure we highlight to the client where there might be a misstep coming that we can course correct and come around. And that all comes, again, from that spirit of collaboration, wanting to see not only themselves successful, but their team members that they're working with. And as a project manager and as a person, I wish I could bottle it. You know, you could make millions on being able to sell something like that. So that's the biggest thing with Mojer is you've got not only the technical talent, but then you've got people passionate about providing the best service to their clients as well as their internal team members that they possibly can. That's a winning recipe for success right there.
Well, there you have it. That comes from man himself, Derek Spires. Thank you very much for joining us today on Ask Anything. We really appreciate your thoughts on project management and Mojer's project management office as well. Thank you very much.
And Hal, thank you so much. I really enjoyed it. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening in to this week's edition of Ask Anything presented by Mojer Consulting. We hope you enjoyed listening to Derek Spires talk to us about project management. Join us next time when we continue to dive deeper with our resident experts and what they're currently working on. Remember to send us your ideas or topics via our social media feeds. In the meantime, please remember to give us a rating and subscribe to our feed wherever you get your podcasts. Until then, so long, everybody.